This morning, I began sharing with you another one of the lessons from the upper room. It is number 21, and the title of it is The Faith God Seeks. And I'm going to review just briefly. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time in the review so we can pick up and go forward, because there's some other things that we really need to take a look at here, what he spoke to me. And again, the image is of sitting down at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee and the Holy Spirit, you know, just sitting there and sharing. That's kind of the way that this took place. We started off, he took me to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And in Hebrews 11, 6, it says that without faith it's impossible to please God. The key word is impossible. What that means is that unless you have the kind of faith that God desires, it is impossible to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. Now, that doesn't mean that He'll disapprove of things that we do and so forth, but if you're going to live at that level of being totally pleasing in all that you do before God, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And since we have to live by that faith, or we have to have that faith, or act by that faith, you know, however you want to speak it, the key is to find out what kind of faith He wants. And the Holy Spirit said real faith starts with believing what God has said in His Word about faith, how it comes, how it is developed, how you use it, and its true purpose for the life of a believer. If you don't start here, how can you truly think you are living by faith? In other words, if you don't start with what God has said about faith, then how can you say you're living by faith? And that's so true. And there are three verses. 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, from the moment we wake to the moment we go to bed, you know, our life is to be built around living by faith, that kind of faith that pleases God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way. Disasters, calamity, sickness, heartache, whatever. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by these other things. And then Jude verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So therefore, as I pray in tongues, I'm going to build myself up on my most holy faith. Now, these are standards that God has given us in His Word. So if I'm going to live by faith and be pleasing in His sight, the only way I'm going to end up with that kind of faith is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and praying in tongues. Now, if I don't do those things, He'll still love me and I'll still make it to heaven. But, the kind of faith that God is seeking is based upon faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and praying in tongues to build yourself up on your most holy faith. So if you don't do those things, then the faith He's seeking is not going to be fully developed in your life. And the Holy Spirit said, accepting these instructions is a true act of faith. If your faith could be developed and operate any other way, don't you think I would have said so in my Word? Well, obviously, yes, because if He wants us to be pleasing in His sight, then He would tell us about, you know, what else it takes to have that kind of faith. And all too often, as I was sharing with you this morning, and what the Holy Spirit was kind of giving me this panoramic view of the body of Christ, we've heard so many sermons about faith and how that we're supposed to act in faith and trust God and believe God and all that, and those things are true. But to have the faith that God wants, we have to believe what He has said concerning faith. And this is one of the elements that's been left out. For example, if I stand up and I tell you faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and I just go over that again and again, and you say, amen, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, but I leave out Jude about praying in tongues, then I've only given you part of what is necessary to develop your faith to the point that, you know, we're supposed to have it. Well, he shared that simply doing something is not an act of faith, but doing what I have said is an act of faith. So a lot of times we do things, but God didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't tell us. He didn't instruct us. He didn't say, you know, here, do this. This is how I want you to handle this situation, whatever. We just do things, and then we call it an act of faith. And He says, no, just doing something is not an act of faith. Doing what I said is an act of faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 2, Hebrews 11 is about all the people in the Old Testament before Jesus. Some are named and some are not named, and what they did by faith, what they accomplished by faith, and how by acting on the Word of God and His promises, they were able to change their society or their world. They framed their world by the Word of God. Well, then at the end of Hebrews 11, he says, but there is something better for us. And he says, here's what all these people did in their condition of not being born again, not being filled with the Holy Spirit. And look what they accomplished, but there's something better for you. Well, the something better for us is salvation, but not just salvation. It's the kind of faith that salvation brings. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says that we are to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Author meaning originator, finisher meaning completer, you know, polisher, you know, bringing to fulfillment and so forth. So Hebrews 11 people could not do that. But we are Hebrews 12, 2 people. And the Holy Spirit said, you as Christians are called to a higher standard. When it comes to living by faith, you as Christians are called to a higher standard. Well, that higher standard is revealed in Galatians 2:20, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in some non-King James versions of the Bible, the word of, I live by the faith of the Son of God, they may put the word in, I live by faith in the Son of God. That completely destroys the message. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, how did you get the faith of the Son of God? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and when I did, He became Christ in me, His life in me, the hope of glory. That born-again life, that new nature, that born-again spirit that I received from Him when I was born again, brought with it the faith of Jesus. He authored that faith in me. So now I have His faith, and I'm supposed to be living by that kind of faith. Well, if I'm going to be living by that kind of faith, then I need to find out how that kind of faith is developed, how it is, how He polishes it, how He finishes it in me. Well, He just said in the Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, pray in tongues, build yourself up on that kind of faith. That's how it is completed, developed, polished, finished. In Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, it talks about Abraham. And it says that Abraham believed God and so forth, and it says that he was not weak in faith. And the Holy Spirit shared with us how that even a lost person can have faith that is very strong concerning the things of God. That's proven in Scripture. You know, all the people in Hebrews 11, and then Abraham, as he's identified in chapter 4. But we have the ability to live by a faith that is strengthened by spiritual life, which is something Abraham didn't have. That right there makes all the difference in the world. In Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, it talked, gave us the example of the disciples, how they tried to get this man's son healed and delivered from this devil that was tormenting the son. And they couldn't do it. And when they asked Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, well, because of your unbelief or because of your lack of faith. And James chapter 2, verse 26 says that just like the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. And the Holy Spirit shared how that he said, know this, every Christian is operating at 100% of their level of faith. If you're not getting the faith results you believe you should be getting, it is because you do not yet have the faith to get those results. Performing a work in the natural, or stepping out in faith, as many call it, does not cause faith to come, it does not develop your faith, and it does not cause faith to work. On the other hand, faith that is developed will always produce works, because such faith is operating from within my kingdom where nothing is impossible with God. And, for example, you know, this, where he said, performing a work in the natural or stepping out in faith, as many call it, does not cause faith to come, it does not develop your faith, and it does not cause faith to work. You know, you can believe that by Jesus' stripes your eyes were healed, and you can take your glasses off and throw them down and stomp on them and so forth. One particular Bible college, you know, known for, you know, teaching faith, on orientation day, I don't know if they still do this or not, but on orientation day, they would have like second or third year students kind of up front to keep an eye on the newbies, the freshmen, the incoming. Because, you know, the incoming, you know, so many of them, I'm going to prove to the world I'm living by faith. And many of them would take their glasses off. I'm living by faith. Stomp on their glasses. Hallelujah, I'm healed. And, well, the ones that were standing around watching, if they saw somebody start reaching for the glasses, they'd run over and tell them, no, don't do that. At Rhema, one of the first things, when you enroll at Rhema, they give you two instructions on your orientation day. Number one, they tell you to make sure you have the directions to the nearest hospital. And number two, you are told to get the name and address and phone number of a doctor. And the reason for that is because people, I am living by faith. I don't need a doctor and I don't need a hospital. Yeah, but your arm's kind of like hanging off there. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Well, see, a lot of people perform works, but they don't have the faith to support the work. And just because you do something in the natural does not force faith to perform for you. If the faith is there, you're going to get results. If the faith isn't there, you don't get results. I mean, it's just how it is. You can't live by what you don't have. Well, let's pick up at that point and turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And I really encourage you, if you didn't hear the message this morning, you need to listen to that sermon because there's a whole lot of detail that I did not bring out tonight. It was just a very brief review to get us to where we need to be tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. Now, he's talking here primarily about being born again, faith in Jesus and so forth, but there's a concept in this verse. Notice he says, what is it then? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So, what's the image? The image is the word is in your heart and in your mouth. You see that? I want you to be sure you're clear on this. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Did I say Hebrews chapter 10? Well, by faith, you should have known the verse anyway. No wonder you guys are looking at me like I'm a nutcase. Trust me, I think I know what I'm doing. I apologize for giving the wrong reference here. It's Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we have the image here that the word is in your heart and it's in your mouth. The Holy Spirit said most Christians who call themselves faith people will wholeheartedly agree with a faith sermon. But their heart doesn't change to line up with faith because they continue to confess facts over truth. Truth is what I have said in my word. Facts are conditions in the natural that you are to conquer with truth. Now, I want to say this again, or repeat to you again. Most Christians who call themselves faith people will wholeheartedly agree with a faith sermon. And I've been there. You know, we hear, I believe God, trust God, and it's like, amen, hallelujah, faith, faith, faith. I'm healed, I'm rich, I'm blessed, I'm all these things. But their heart doesn't change to line up with faith because they continue to confess facts over truth. Truth is what I have said in my word. Facts are conditions in the natural that you are to conquer with truth. Now, you know, Jesus made a statement, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's true. And how many times have I shared with you in the past, all you have to do when you're around people, don't say a word, just listen. And you're going to know exactly where they're coming from. When you keep hearing can't, don't, won't, isn't, never, it's and all that, and they keep going on with you, then you're listening to somebody who does not have a faith walk that they say they do. I mean, how many Christians are going to look at you and say, you know what? I do not walk by faith. I walk by sight. Well, then that's goofy. We all say we walk by faith and not by sight. However, if it's not according to God's standard, it's not a faith walk. Listen, let me share this with you. This might help out. You cannot measure your faith walk by the faith sermons you hear. You can only measure your faith walk by what God has said in His Word. Now, what I'm sharing with you today is what the Holy Spirit has given to me relative to helping us understand this. Because it is so hard sometimes to honestly, it's basically impossible to look somebody right in the eye and tell them you are not living by faith and not have them get mad at you. Man, how do you, when somebody talks, well, you know, living by faith, and I believe in faith, and you know, I wear Kenneth Hagin t-shirts, and all, I mean, how can you look at them and say, but you're not living by faith? They think they are. Well, if we go back and find out the standards that God has set in His Word, that's how we know if you're living by faith. And just like the Holy Spirit said, look, if you're not getting faith results, it's because you don't have the faith to get those results. It's not that complicated. But when we when we build our faith on what we think we're hearing from sermons, then we don't end up with the kind of faith that pleases God. Look in John chapter 17. He took me over here next. John chapter 17. In verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And the Holy Spirit said, God's word, not facts, is truth. Facts can always be verified by natural law and conditions. Truth and the faith you are to live by can only be verified by God's word. Which would you rather live by? Well, that's, you know, God's word, obviously. Well, he says, living by faith is only foolish to those who are not living by faith. Likewise, those who say praying in tongues is works or that it does not produce results are actually saying that they do not pray enough in tongues. And I'd like to add, in many cases, they're actually saying they don't pray in tongues at all. Because, see, if you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. That's what the Bible says. That's what he was talking about earlier, that it's a real act of faith to believe what God has said about this. See, if you say, I don't believe that praying in tongues is really going to do that much for me, what you're telling me is you flat out just don't believe the Word of God. Because God says, pray in the Spirit, and you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Therefore, I know every time I sit down and I start praying, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith because God said so. Every time I get into the Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Faith's coming. It's coming. And so therefore, like he said, living by faith is only foolish to those who are not living by faith. See, when you're living by faith, it makes all the sense in the world to do things Jesus did. It makes all the sense in the world to rebuke sickness when you're living by faith. So many times when we pray, we say we're praying a prayer of faith, we're actually praying a prayer of, I hope I got it right. Oh, God. And we try to say, now think with me. And listen, we've all been where I'm going to example here, okay? We pray and we try to pray according to how we've heard other people pray that we believe walk in faith. You know what I'm saying? Because you've done it, I know you're guilty, and so am I. We hear them pray, and it's like, well, okay, if that prayer is the way you're supposed to pray, when you're living by faith, then I can pray like that. But see, when you're living by faith, the kind of faith we're talking about here, this Galatians 2:20 faith and all, when you have gotten yourself at that place, and you're starting to live by Jesus' faith, you don't have to sit around and think about what do I say. You know why? Because it is the abundance of your heart and it comes out. Jesus didn't stand... You remember the story when Jesus was ministering to Peter's mother-in-law, sick of a fever, and he rebuked the fever, it left her, took her by the hand, and she got up and cooked them dinner. Now, when I can tell you what didn't happen. Jesus didn't walk into that house and there she was on that bed, you know, burning up with this fever, feeling horrible. And he didn't stand there and think, okay, now, how would Abraham have prayed? Because he wasn't weak in faith, you know. He wouldn't have said, well, what would Elijah have done? What would Moses have done? He didn't think of any of that. You know what he did? Out of the abundance of his heart, who he was as a child of God, with God as his father, and he knew this, he just walked in and rebuked the fever and the thing left and she was healed. When he was in that boat and the waves and the boat's about to sink and all this and the disciples come back and say, Jesus, don't you care we're going to die? You know, when he stood up, he didn't think, oh boy, what do I do now? You know, let's see here. Was anybody in the Old Testament faced with a situation like this? And if so, what did they say? How should I pray over this? He didn't do that. He just stood up and acted out of not just who he was, but what he had. Faith. Peace be still. It was just not a big deal. And I know it wasn't that big of a deal when he did that. Because he didn't go through a bunch of gyrations and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he didn't, you know, like take something and throw it in the water as, you know, seed and all this. I mean, all he did was, you know, just peace be still. And I don't believe he stood on that boat and said, I am the Son of Almighty God, sent from heaven above. Therefore I speak to you the words of heaven. Storm, peace, be still. He didn't do that. Because if he had put a bunch of antics in on it, the rest of those people in that boat wouldn't have been that impressed. He just stood up and said, peace, be still. And then, just like that, man, it changed. And those guys were stunned, shocked, fearful. Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. He's a man of faith, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author. See, that's the kind of faith he's authored in us. But it has to be developed. Now, I'll tell you what, turn to Mark 11. Mark 11. And when you're in Mark 11, I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 1 because he took me to two places. He took me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 31, the whole first chapter of Genesis. And he also took me over to Mark 11. Now, starting in Genesis chapter 1, and you're in Mark, you stay in Mark. I'll read to you from Genesis. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, there was light. And in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. Well, there was a firmament. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, and they were. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and other things, and it did. In verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and there were. In verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the creatures and so forth, and the creatures came forth. Verse 22, and God blessed them, the living creatures, and said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, they were blessed and began to be fruitful and multiply. In verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and so forth, and it happened. And in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. And man was made in the image of God. See, that one right there ought to mean more to you than anything else. When God created man, man was created in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image. So when he spoke that, that meant that humanity was originally created in the image of God, the image and the likeness. Meaning to be like God, not deified, but to be like God. Jesus came along to get us back to that place. That's why we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because he's the author and the finisher of a faith that is demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1. And that's where we are when we get born again. Now look, well, you're in Mark 11. In Mark 11, 22, look at this. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, it might be a better rendering for it to have said, have the faith of God. What faith of God? Genesis 1. Have the faith that God demonstrated. Well, how do I do that? I will be the author and the finisher of that kind of faith in you. And the life that you live in the flesh, you're to live by the faith of me, the Son of God, because I live by the faith of God, and that faith was originally demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1. Have the faith of God in operation in your life, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt on his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice how Mark 11, 22 and 23 are basically the short version of what happened in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And God spoke the blessing. In fact, the last thing that God did before He sat down to rest, He blessed. He spoke a blessing over man, Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. And they were. If He had not spoken that blessing over them, they would not have been able to do everything He said that they could do. But He spoke that blessing over them. And then He sat down and says, everything is good. Everything meets my standards. And so Jesus comes along in Mark 11, 22 and 23. Now let me paraphrase it a little bit. He's saying, you know what God did in Genesis chapter 1? The faith that He demonstrated? Well, you are to have the same kind of faith in operation in your life. And if you do, the end result is going to be, you can even speak to a mountain, be thou removed, and as long as you don't doubt on your heart, as long as you have God's faith, Genesis 1 faith operating in your life, you know what? You'll have whatever you say. He's telling you, you're going to be like God in Genesis chapter 1. You won't be deity. This is what He's talking about. He's taking you all the way back, and He's saying, verse 22, here's the standard, Genesis 1, and here are the results, Mark 11, 23. Okay, now, with all this in mind, the Holy Spirit said, faith releases God's power to change circumstances. That release comes from within you, the believer. Your faith is ultimately to operate at a Genesis chapter 1 level. You will not create a universe, but you can impact the one in which you live. There is a direct connection between Genesis 1 and Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23 works correctly when the words spoken are released out of a Genesis 1 heart. So if I get to the place to where my heart is conformed to the image of God, when I begin to speak, then out of my heart is going to come the perfect Genesis 1 will of God. Do you understand what I mean by that? God's perfect will was revealed in Genesis chapter 1 as He was speaking. The only words that He spoke forth were the words of His will, the words of His desire, the words of His goals. Therefore, when I have a Genesis 1 heart, my heart is consumed with His will, His desires, His goal, and that is how I will speak. I will not simply say, it is God's will for you to be healed. I will also say, it is God's will for you to be healed, therefore in the name of Jesus, be healed. Isn't that what Jesus did? And even as I said that, if you were to imagine in your own mind doing that, it would feel kind of weird. Here's why. It's because we hear all these faith sermons, but essentially, we aren't told to take it to this next step of really developing our faith through hearing and hearing by the Word of God and praying in tongues and then speaking like Jesus spoke and speaking like God spoke. There's this apprehension on the inside of us to do that. Especially when we're around other believers, because you and I both know people will think we're weird. Hey, listen, honestly, even in this church, you start speaking like Jesus and like God did in Genesis chapter 1, there's probably people here that will think you're weird. They thought Jesus was weird, did they not? They couldn't figure out how can you do that? You know, you give a word and things happen. Why, He speaks to devils and they depart. How is this possible? He says, well, it's because I'm doing the will of my Father. He did this in Genesis chapter 1. I'm just continuing the work. I'm just doing what He set before me. He said, Mark 11, 23 is not simply about what is spoken, but about what is in your heart as the foundation for what you speak. Faith's confession will never vary with the circumstances. Man, let that sink in. See, When you have a faith confession, see what we've been taught, faith confession, is just a lot of repetition that has no foundation. A faith confession is a confession that is birthed out of the Word of God that lives in your heart. That is a faith confession. Hey, in the Old Testament, they had soul confessions. Remember we talked the difference between soul faith and, you know, the spiritual life faith and so forth in this morning's message. Get that message if you didn't hear it. Faith's confession will never vary with the circumstances. Circumstances are what you see as a result of sin and the fallen world. Faith is all about what exists in my kingdom. Faith does not quit because faith knows it already has the victory and that change is coming. Jesus never quit. He never quit. He didn't have to go to the cross. You know why he went to the cross? Because that's what he was supposed to do. For the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross, became sin on our behalf, and then by faith trusted that the Father was going to raise him on the third day. Nobody had ever been raised on the third day like that before. From spiritual death to life, nobody. So he trusted the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. And then 3 days later, man, God released his life back into Jesus and up from the grave he arose. Then he turns around and he says, and if you put your faith in me, you will be born again and you too shall be raised from spiritual death, but we're going to leave you here. I'm going back to the Father. We're going to leave you here. And you are supposed to carry on what I started. Because you will have my life in you. And accompanied with my life will be faith that I will author in you. Now, in place of me being with you, we will be sending the Holy Spirit. He will be with you always. And he shall not just be with you, he shall be in you. And one of the things that he will do in you is help you complete, finish, grow, develop, mature into the faith that I authored in you. But if you do not let him do this, you will be born again, but you will not have the faith that you need to complete everything the Father wants in this life. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at this earlier, but we want to look at it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. He took me back over here where it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I restructured this verse and paraphrased it a little bit to help you understand more completely or more clearly what God is saying here. We understand that it was through faith the periods of time, the ages in which the elders lived were framed. Or in other words, we understand that they framed the world in which they lived by faith. And that they started with nothing but the promise of God and ended up with a manifested promise, whatever that would be. The Holy Spirit said, words will create the world in which you live. Words of faith will create the world of God's will in which you are supposed to be living. God sovereignly designed that power is released through words. When you confess from your heart the words, message, and truth of God, the Holy Spirit can then add His anointing to those words to produce a manifestation, just like what happened in Genesis 1. So when God spoke, the Holy Spirit moved and things came into existence. Likewise, when I'm speaking out of my heart, not just rote repetition out of my head, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, pray in tongues, build myself up on my most holy faith, and then as I'm speaking the words and the will of God, His intent, His desires, the Holy Spirit is able to come along and release an anointing upon those words, just like He did in Genesis chapter 1, and then I begin to see results take place in my life, which is exactly what happened with Jesus as He was ministering, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He spoke, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, so as Jesus was speaking the will of the Father, the Holy Ghost allows or adds the anointing to it, and man, the fig tree dies. People are raised from the dead, the maimed are healed, blind eyes can see. Water's turned into wine. I mean, just on and on it goes. On and on it goes. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of this kind of faith. This is how we're supposed to be living. He said, do not conform your confession on what you perceive around you. Form your confession on who God is, what God is, and what He can do. Now listen to this next part. A millionaire has no problem imagining millions of dollars because that is what he sees and that is what he thinks. A paycheck to paycheck person imagines a top quality hamburger. That's what he said. And I'm thinking, how true? How true it is. There are people out there, look, I don't know if you're in this category or not, but do you understand that there are people out there who literally, because of the way the stock market operates, they lose millions a day. And then the next day they gain millions back. And the day after they lose millions more. I mean, quite frankly, if you put all of us together in this room, there's a possibility we still wouldn't have a million. And these guys are losing and gaining that much every day. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is, but you understand the perspective is totally different. And so, like the Holy Spirit said, I mean, the paycheck to paycheck person, I mean, man, we're just hoping for the day we can go someplace and get a high-priced, top-of-the-line, pure Angus beef, grain-fed hamburger. You know? I mean, we save our money to buy a stinking hamburger. Think about it. We save our money so we can go get ourselves a filet. You know, well, let's set money back so, you know, we can go... The millionaire people, they're buying the restaurants. The whole chain. Are you capturing this? And so he says, my word is a revelation of the vision you are to capture. Allowing me to pray through you in tongues will help you establish that vision in your spirit. When your faith is developed into the Galatians 2:20 faith of Jesus, it is that faith which will form your confession. So therefore, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I pray in tongues, built up on my most holy faith. And if I keep doing that, the day is going to come, I'm not going to have to think about what to confess. It just rolls out. It just pours out. It's just there. Why? Because that has become my existence. I've captured the vision of what faith does because of the Word. The Holy Spirit has helped to cement that on the inside of me. So therefore, when I see, it's just an example with Jesus, our author and finisher. The blind guy that was taken to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, bring him here. He says, what do you want? I mean, that's faith. That's faith. What do you want? Man, he could have said anything. You know, season tickets to the Browns games or something. Anything. He could have said anything. You've got to know who you are and where you're walking in God to look at somebody and say, what do you want? Tell me what you want. And I can produce it. Long as it lines up with God's will for things in this, I can do it. Tell me what you want. You know, when you go to a restaurant and they hand you a menu, the waitress asks you what you want. She doesn't ask you, would you want a bowl of rice or a bowl of Cheerios? She asks you what you want based upon the menu. And if... doesn't matter. If it's on that menu and you say you want it, you get it. Jesus said, what do you want? The man said, well, I want my sight. He says, okay. He says, all right, come on, let's go, guys. We're on a mission. Now, to us, it's far-fetched to think like that. The reason it's far-fetched to think like that is because our faith is not where we think it is. There's no... listen... if somebody were to say, would you pray for me? How comfortable would you be looking at them and saying, what do you want? And then them say, well, you know, I've got an infected this or this hurts or that thing there, whatever. And then you have the confidence of knowing that you're going to be able to deliver for them whatever it is. Man, there's no way we would ask that. We would ask them, what do you want me to pray about? But we wouldn't ask them, what do you want? You see what I'm saying? Not like Jesus. Say, well, you know, I got this pain. All right, we'll pray for this. You know, oh Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we get it right with our prayer. Sometimes we don't the way we pray. But see, when you get to the place that you have that Galatians 2:20 faith operating on the inside of you, when you pray, when you speak, when you minister to people, it's going to be a reflection of the image of the glory of Jesus revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you don't even think about it. You just do it. Be healed. I mean, how simple can it be? Be healed. And honestly, when I've been praying for people at times, I try to do that. But there are times where, man, I'm telling you, I can feel a resistance before I open my mouth. And I can tell, I need to watch what I say and how I say it. Because, I mean, for Christians now, so many Christians have been trained through unbelief that has faith written over it, that if you don't pray the way they think you should pray, they're not going to receive what you're praying. Does that make any sense? Remember, it even says that Jesus, when he went to his hometown, he could do no mighty works other than just heal a few sick folk because of their unbelief. They wouldn't receive it. And so therefore, when we pray for people, the goal is for us to get to be like Jesus. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He said, praying in tongues, fasting, worship, and meditation in my word are all about developing a Genesis 1 heart. Jesus had a Genesis 1 heart, which is why he had so much success with his words. A Genesis 1 heart will speak the will of the Father. A Genesis 1 heart is kingdom-based and Christ-molded. When you speak out of your mind, you speak what you think. When you speak out of a Genesis 1 heart, you speak out of my will. And boy, is there a huge difference in that. Well, I think this is what God wants. You know, Jesus never had that problem. He operated by a Genesis 1 heart. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And, you know, we could all quote this verse. It's Philippians 4:19. But it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, when you receive an instruction from your Father, a Genesis 1 heart will always look first at Philippians 4:19. A Genesis 3 heart will always look at the balance in the bank account and the projected income. What's a Genesis 3 heart? What happened in Genesis 3? Man fell. And so he says, again, when you receive an instruction from your Father, a Genesis 1 heart will always look first at Philippians 4:19. A Genesis 3 heart will always look at the balance in the bank account and the projected income. Yes, you can be born again, but still have a Genesis 3 heart in that your mindset will remain focused on the natural fallen world. And how many times are we guilty of that? You know, God tells you to do something, you sit down and try to figure it out. Well, Jesus said, you know, count the cost and so forth. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I'm not debating that. The point I'm making is this. If God tells you to do something, He knows you are ready to do it, and He knows how to supply what's needed for it to be done. Therein lies the difference. In the natural, if I start to do something, I should count the cost. In the spirit, if He says, do it, my next question should be, how soon? When? And He may say, just like an example in the Old Testament. He told David, well, through the prophet, he told David, I'm going to build a temple. And, you know, David, you know, wanted to get this temple built for God and so forth. But the prophet said, no, you're not the one to build the temple. The temple's going to be built, but you're not the one to build it. Your son's going to build it. You're supposed to accumulate the building supplies. And so, yes, the temple, there was an order, an instruction that the temple was going to be built. But not in David's lifetime. David's responsibility was to simply begin accumulating all the materials and finances and so forth necessary for the temple to be built. Solomon came along, he built the temple. Now here's what I'm getting at. God can give you an instruction, but if you don't hang around long enough to find out the when and the how, and you know the why is just because God said so. So you need to find out the when and the how. Well, he says, look, if you're focused on the things of the world and the natural, you're not going to obey God. You sit around and say things like, well, I just don't know if we can do this. Well, but wait a minute. Who's the one that told you to do it? Well, you know, God said do that. Well, then do it. Yeah, but I don't know how. Well, if He told you to do it, I'm sure He knows how it's supposed to be done. Why don't you hang around long enough? How did you know He told you to do it? Well, you know, I stayed in prayer and I clearly heard Him say to do it. Okay, why don't you stay in prayer a little bit longer and clearly hear Him say how? Why'd you leave prayer? And it may take another 4 or 5 months of listening to get the clarity on the how. Well, hang in there and get the clarity. You know, wait for Him. He said, those who say it is... Listen to this. Those who say it is difficult to live by faith are not living by faith as much as they think. You ever heard people talk like that?
Well, it's living by faith, man. It's hard. Not easy to live by faith.
Well, what? It wasn't hard for Jesus. It wasn't hard for other people. Living by faith does not mean you're never going to encounter challenges. Jesus lived by faith. How many times did they try to kill Him? How many times did they take up stones to stone Him? So he says, those who say it is difficult to live by faith are not living by faith as much as they think. Living by faith is quite easy when you come to the place of fully trusting your Father, knowing that He cannot fail you and that He will always work to fulfill His word and promises in your life. You can never fail when you are living by the faith God seeks. Praise God. I can never fail. Therefore, I need to develop that faith so that I can do what He says and I won't fail. Praise God. You know what? Some people could walk in this church and say, how long have you been here? And I could say, well, as of today, 12 years.
And this is the best you can do? You ever thought about maybe moving on to another church?
Nope.
Well, if nobody wants you.
You know what? I can, as I stand before you, I can honestly tell you, I truly believe I'm doing what God's told me to do. I'm also going to be 100% honest with you and publicly admit, yes, it's possible I'm missing some things that God is telling me to do. In other words, I don't want to present myself as not being capable of making a mistake or missing God. I know it's possible. So maybe there are some things that I haven't spent enough time in prayer to receive from God. But I really believe I'm doing what God wants. Therefore, I can tell you, based on that, this is not a failure. Now, I know that compared to a lot of other churches, they say, well, you know, you're doing what you needed to be doing there. I mean, your church ought to be, you know, some bigger and move. Well, all right. But let me ask you, you know, Mr. Church Person with a congregation of, you know, 3,000. Has anything been said from the pulpit about praying in tongues at your church?
Well, oh, we don't want to, you know, offend anybody. We don't want to get radical. We don't want to, you know, step outside the boundaries of what is acceptable within the structure of the congregational setting wherein we exist, and so forth.
E pluribus unum. Whatever. You know what? Seriously, I mean, because of what I know now in my walk with God. And listen, you need to understand this whole lesson from the upper room, the faith God seeks, it's been, you know, a call to account for me. Because it's shown me that I've not been living in, by faith the way that I have thought I've been living by faith. And so I've got, you know, work on my own to do here. But I would rather go to a church that really isn't that big, but the pastor standing up talking about these kinds of things and sharing with me from the Word what works, as opposed to going to a church that's got, you know, choirs and all this other kind of stuff and, you know, great lattes and cappuccinos and what, and not be getting, you know, getting maybe truth, but not going to deeper levels of substance and truth. You know, I want to know what it takes to be pleasing before God. I want to know what it takes to become like Jesus. I want to know what it takes to conform to the image of that glory. I want to know what it takes. And then it's up to me to do it. If I don't do it, well, you know, it's on my shoulders. But for crying out loud, man, I at least want to know. That's what this is about today. And I think that in this message, I really believe that we can all say that, yeah, this is a little bit of a different approach as far as faith is concerned. Not a wrong approach, obviously, but an eye-opener to help us understand better why maybe we haven't had the success in faith that we, you know, have thought we're supposed to have. Well, praise the Lord, Jesus has authored faith in me. And if you're born again, Jesus has authored faith in you as well. And now, this life that we live in this flesh body, we're not supposed to live it by that Hebrews 11 faith that those people live by. Praise God, we can take it to a level that's way beyond, and we can live by the faith of the Son of God. Praise the Lord.